Thank you. So first, I would like to thank the organizers for this invitation. So in this talk, I would like to describe a little the dynamics of neuromorphic map on compact scalar manifold. So the context will be the following. I will consider a compact scalar manifold. With a dimension k and a neuromorphic map on X. And I will always assume that this map is a dominant, which means that the Jacobian of F is not identically equal to zero. F is onto. Okay. So the goal is to describe the dynamics of such map. And for that, we need some quantities, some dynamical quantities. So in this first talk, I will introduce and or recall these quantities. I will recall first the dynamical degrees, and I will compute these degrees in some particular cases. The entropies, so there are both entropies. There is the topological entropy, which is the entropy of a map, and the metric entropy, which will be the entropy of a measure. And the Lyapunov exponents. Okay. And after we use these three or four quantities in order to describe the dynamics of the neuromorphic map. Okay, so first the dynamical degrees. So if we explain what are the dynamical degrees last Monday, but I prefer to recall a second time. So the notion of dynamical degree were introduced by Rusakowski and Schiffman for projective spaces, but the definition is exactly the same for compact scalar manifold. So first, a notation. I will denote by omega L the wedge of omega L times with itself. For L between 0 and the dimension. And I consider the pullback of this form by F star. If you take a holomorphic map, you obtain a smooth form. But F is meromorphic. And so, in general, this form is not smooth. But you can see that it is a form with L1 coefficients. In particular, you can consider the following integral. This is well defined because it is only the integral of a L1 function. And I will call the result delta L. And now, to define the dynamical degree, I will take an asymptotic of delta L for the iterate. So I consider the iterate n times. And I take delta L of Fn to the power 1 over n and the limit of that. Okay, and you obtain the dynamical degree of order L. Okay, very roughly speaking, DL can be see as a spectral radius, so it's roughly speaking, dl is the spectral radius of the action of F star on the cohomology. It's roughly speaking because if you start with smooth form, you take the pullback, the panel current, so you have to speak about cohomology of currents, and after you have another problem like algebraically, if F is algebraically stable or not, so it's more complicated than that, but it's the idea. Okay, I will give examples of dynamical degree, but before I would like to give a very important theorem due to Gromov, Kovansky, and Tessier. Which says that the function q gives log dq is concave. And in particular, this result implies that the dynamical degrees look like this. You have D0, which is, you can see with the definition, it is always equal to 1. It's increasing like that to a top, and after it's decreasing. You have a concavity of the dynamical degrees like that. And the last one, if you look the definition here, it's only the topological degree of the map. Okay, so now I would like to give an example of computation of dynamical degrees. It will be for holomorphic endomorphism of CPK. So I take the holomorphic endomorphism of CPK with degree D. So you have the following situation. You have CK plus 1 minus 0 and the canonical projection to CPK. You have F like that, and by definition, holomorphic endomorphism of CPK means that there is a lift here, like that, such that the diagram commutes. And capital F is given by polynomials. So homogeneous polynomials. Of degree D. So you have this following situation. And of course, if you take the iterate Fn, the lift is a capital Fn, the iterate. There is a correspondence like that. So I would like to compute the dynamical degrees in this context. So perhaps I will begin by the first one. So I have to compute this. So first, this is a calculus in cohomology, because if you change omega by something which is the same class, The difference in integral will be the dvc of something, where it's something which is closed, and this is zero by using Stokes' theorem. So this is a calculus in cohomology. So if you know that omega, this is given by hyperplane in cohomology, this number is precisely the number of intersection between F minus 1 of an hyperplane and K minus 1 hyperplane. So you take generic hyperplanes. So now you want to compute this number, and it's only a consequence of Bezout's theorem, because this is equal to the number of solutions of a system with the first equation for this one will be equation of degree D, and after you have K minus 1 equation of degree 1. For the other hyperplanes. So by Bezout's theorem, you obtain that it is equal to D. Okay, so delta 1 is equal to D. And this implies too that F star omega is homologous to D omega, because there is only one class in H11 given by omega, and the coefficient say A omega is given by this mass. So you can this. Now for delta L, you can use this, because this is by definition equal to this integral, and F is holomorphic, so I can develop like that. Now each one is equal to d omega in cohomology. So you obtain dl, d power l. Okay, so we prove that eta l of f is equal to dl. Of course, if you take d eta l at fn, it's the same. So eta l of fn is equal to d l n. And when you take the power 1 over n and the limit, you obtain that the dynamical degree of order L is equal to d power L. Okay. So for holomorphic endomorphism of CPK, the dynamical degree looks like this. It's strictly increasing. And the highest is the last one, the topological degree. Okay. So now the second dynamical quantity that I would like to recall is the entropy. So there are two entropies, the topological entropy, it's the entropy of mass, and there is the metric entropy, which is the entropy of a measure. So last Monday, Jeffrey recalled the topological entropy. I will recall a second time the definition, but perhaps quickly. After, I would like to do a computation of topological entropy for holomorphic endomorphism of CPK. So first, topological entropy. So quickly, what is the definition? So first, I have to introduce the dynamical distance. Oh, yeah. Okay. Which is the maximum of the distance between the iterates for I between 0 and n minus 1. And a set F is n data separated if when you take two different points in F, then the distance for the dynamical distance between these two points is higher than delta. So this distance we call it the dynamical distance. I know what is the first picture. What means this? It means that you can distinguish the orbit of X from the orbit of Y because I can draw the orbit, y, and this fact implies that there is a step, for example I, where the distance between fi of x and fi of y is higher than delta. So it means that we can distinguish the orbit of X from the orbit of Y. Can be very close here, but here there is a gap. Okay, what is the topological entropy? In fact, it computes the number of orbits that you can distinguish because you take the maximum of cardinality of such n data separated set. You take maximum of the cardinality of such n data separated set. And you take an asymptotic of that. So I give the asymptotic, perhaps you can forget this. And you obtain the topological entropy. So the topological entropy computes the number of orbits that you can distinguish. And roughly speaking, if you have a lot of orbits that you can distinguish, it means that the dynamical system is very chaotic. So, highest is the topological entropy, highest, more you have chaos, in some sense. Just I recall the link between the topological entropy and the dynamical degree. So this is due to Gromov when F is holomorphic and due to Dean and Siboney when F is meromorphic. It is that the topological entropy is bounded by above by the maximum of the logarithms of the dynamical delivery. So now I would like to give a computation of topological entropy. So the example will be for holomorphic endomorphism of CPK. So with degree D. Let me recall that the topological degree, I compute it, topology, is equal to d power k. So it means when you take a point, a generic point, then you have d power k free matches. To simplify the situation, I will assume something which is wrong. I simplify, but I will assume that when I take a point and when I consider the pre-images, the distance between two pre-images is higher than delta. So when f, when a is far from the critical values, and if you take delta small enough, it's true. Of course, there is a critical set, so it's not always true. But in order to simplify the proof, I prefer to suppose this. I suppose, moreover, that f is a non-Hermitian covering. Okay, but by using my proof, you can, and if you add the critical set, you can complete the proof. It's a proof due to Mizurovic and Rozitiki. And it's, in fact, it's true for Riemannian compact manifold and I think C1 functions. Okay, so I assume this. So now I iterate the pre-images. So I have A, and for the picture I will draw only two pre-images. It's not D power K, but it's easier. So I have this. Perhaps another. All points.
But you're not assuming separation for pre-images under the nth
degree. No, with over one. Just the first step, yes. But for all points in CPK. Okay, I think it's enough. So, I say that these points here are three delta separated. This point here. So I will prove it. So I take one of them, B, and I have to prove that this three, the distance between B and C is higher than delta, and this is the maximum for I between 0 and 2 of the distance of of Fi of B and Fi of C when you take C a point here. So first, I take C equal to C1 here. If I take C like that, the first case, B and C1 are three images of this point. So the distance here is higher than delta because I assume this. So the distance between B and C1 is higher than delta. So the distance 3 is the same. Okay, another case, you take C equal to C2 here. So now you take the image by F. You see that F of C2 is here, F of B is here, and these two points are three images of these points. So the distance between these two points is higher than delta. So the distance between F of B and F of C2 is higher than delta. So the distance 3 between these two points is higher than delta 2. Okay, and the last case is if you take C equal to C3 here, for example, you see that when I take F2 of C3, I'm here, F2 of B, I'm here, and these two points are pre-images of one point, so the distance between these two points is higher than delta. And it's finished. If C equal to C3, the distance between F2 of B and F2 of C2 is higher than delta, and you obtain that the distance 3 is higher than delta. So these points are 3 delta separated. Of course, if you want a n delta separated set, you have to iterate this calculus. So you take the pre-images of order n, n times, and this point will be n delta separated. And you have understood the process. You take two points, you take the push forward, and there is a step where there is a bifurcation like that. So here the distance is higher than delta, and it's finished. Okay, so what we prove, in fact, we prove that the maximum of the cardinality of n delta separated set is higher than the topological degree power n. We prove that the max cardinality of such set is higher than the number of these points here, which is Dkn. And now, if you take the asymptote, the logarithm, so if you take this, so of this, you obtain that this is higher than K log D, and so the topological entropy is higher than K log D for holomorphic endomorphism of CPK. And of course, if you use the other inequality due to Gromov, in this case, you obtain that this is an inequality. So for holomorphic endomorphism of CPK, the topological entropy is equal to K log D, which is the logarithm of the highest dynamical degree. Okay. The second notion of entropy is the metric entropy. So it will be the entropy of a measure. So I have to take a probability, for example. And I will assume that this probability puts no mass on the indeterministic set. So I will be the indeterministic set. The set of points where F is not holomorphic. It's necessary to define the thing. So now I will assume that this probability is invariant, which means that. And I will take this probability ergodic in order to simplify. Okay. So now I will define the Bowen ball, the dynamical ball, which will be the ball with center X. And radius delta for the previous dynamical distance. You take the ball with the distance n. And now, what is the metric entropy? The metric entropy computes the mass of such ball for mu. In fact, you take just the mass of this ball. And you take an asymptotic of that. So I give the asymptotic, this ball, minus to have positive quantities. You can put a lim 1, you can put a lim sub 2, and there is a supremum. Okay, so this is the metric entropy. Yes, so I have to say something, all right. I have to say that on the right, you see that it depends on X, but it's true for mu almost every X. So if you take a generic X for the measure, the thing on the right does not depend on X. And in fact, here I'm using not the first definition of the metric entropy, but a theorem due to Brim and Katok, which is very useful to define entropy. Yes. Yes. Otherwise, you have to take an integral or something like that. But you can define a metric entropy if it is not ergodic. Okay. Just a fact is. It's very easy by using this definition. The metric entropy is always smaller than the topological entropy. Okay. So now we have dynamical degrees, entropies, and the last dynamical quantity that I would like to introduce are the Lyapunov exponents. The Lyapunov exponents will describe precisely how is the dynamics. In fact, if you have expansion or contraction or neutral dynamics, the Lyapunov exponent will explain this. So here I will take first F holomorphic and automorphism. And perhaps I will take X complex uniform. With dimension K. So I will give a theorem due to Osterlebeck. Which will define the Lyapunov exponents. So the theorem is the following. You take an ergodic measure. Then there exists an integer n and real numbers say lambda 1 lambda n such that for new almost every x, you have a decomposition of the tangent space, decomposition so like that into linear complex subspaces. Subspecies. And which verifies some condition, so which satisfies. So first, the dimension of EI is independent on X. Is independent of X. If you take X generic for the measure. The second point is that there is an invariance, which means that if you take X, you have EI of X. You take the image by F, you arrive on F of X. Here you have EI of F of X. And the tangent map sends EI on of X on EI of F of X. So I write. These species are invariants, by F. And the third point is for the definition of the lambda I. When you take a vector in EI, and if you consider this limit, you obtain lambda I. So we start with the vector, every vector in EI, and you obtain lambda I for the limit. So the lambda 1, lambda n are the Lyapunov exponents for the map. And in fact, you see that the Lyapunov exponents describe the dynamics because I will give examples, but if you have this, it means that the differential in the direction of EI is given by this. So if lambda I is positive, for example, this number is very high, it means that you have expansion. If lambda I is negative, this number is very small, and you have contraction. If there is, I will speak about the case lambda I equal to zero after. So it gives the dynamics of the map. It's very important to. It's a sort of average of the differential derivative. Okay, just I would like to. Use another notation for the Lyapunov exponent. because you see that the sum of the dimension of the EI is equal to the dimension of X equal to K. So sometimes EI has dimension 2 or 3, or I don't know. It means in some sense that, for example, lambda 1 can have multiplicity 2 or 3 or more. So I will prefer the following notation. Which will be Q1, Q2, Qk. So I will consider that I have k Lyapunov exponent, but for example, if the dimension of E1 is equal to 2, it means that we have lambda Q1 equal to Q2 equal to lambda 1. I take 2 times lambda 1, so that I have k Lyapunov exponents. So it's useful to do that, in fact. Okay. So this is the definition of the Lyapunov exponent. And in fact, I gave this definition for automorphism. So just as a remark. You can define when f is not invertible, but you have to add another hypothesis. You have to assume that the critical set is not a problem in some sense, that the distance between x and the critical set is in L1 of mu. When you have that, the critical set is not a problem for the map, and you can define the Lyapunov exponent with the same definition. If f is meromorphic, you can define the Lyapunov exponent, but here there are two problems: the critical set and the indeterminacy set. So in fact, you have to assume that the distance, the logarithm of the distance between x and c in I is in L1. So c is the critical set and I is the indeterminacy set. When you have that, the critical set and the indeterminacy set is not a problem for the map, for the measure, and you can define the Lyapunov exponent. It's the same definition. Okay. So now I would like to give some examples. To see... Sorry?
Is this remark necessary for having the previous theorem? If you have a periodic measure, you get the Lyapunov exponent.
Yes, I think it's necessary. If you have a non-invertible map, you need something like logarithms or Jacobian.
I'm just curious, an assumption.
Yes. When you take a cocycle, you have something integrability like that, and it's necessary. Okay, so some examples in dimension 2 to see why the Lyapunov exponent describes the dynamics. So dimension 2, you have 2 Lyapunov exponents. So for example, if you take 2 positive Lyapunov exponents, what it means? It means that you have a generic point for the measure, you have 2 linear species, and when you take say, with norm 1, you have that the differential is EQ1N if V is in E1, and almost EQ2N if V is in E2. It's the definition here. So of course, this number are higher than this, which is very large, because alpha is positive. So you have expansion. It means that you start with x, and fn is like that. You have expansion in all directions. Yes, it's take invertible this. Yes. Yes, thank you. Okay. Now, if you take two negative, you have enough exponents. So, something like that. You have two directions, like that. And now, if you take one unit vector, the differential of Fn will be very small if you take V in E1. And very small if you take V in E2. Because alpha is negative, and it means that you have a contraction. So we start with x, we take fn, the derivatives are very, very small, so we have something like that. So you understand that the Lyapunov exponent describes precisely the dynamics. There is a third case that I can give. It's when you have a positive and a negative Lyapunov exponent. So here it means that from the direction EI, you have expansion because it's positive. On the direction E2, you have contraction. So you have a saddle point, means that you have something like that. So, this is to this. You have expansion in E1 and contraction in E2. It's subtle. What happens if Q1 or Q2 is equal to 0? In fact, when a Lyapunov exponent is equal to 0, we don't understand the dynamics. So here you see that we understand. But if you have a Lyapunov exponent equal to 0, we don't understand the dynamics. Why? Because by definition, the Lyapunov exponent is the limit of something like that. So it's an exponential growth. So for example, if you take something which sends something of size 1 and something of size, I don't know, 1 over n, you have a contraction. But if you have this, and you take this limit is 0. Because you take the logarithm, etc. So you obtain that Q is equal to 0. But of course, you can have expansion, small expansion. It's the same. If you start with something of size 1 over n, and you go on something of size 1, the differential will be, say, n. And when you take this limit, it will be equal to 0. So you can have expansion, you can have contraction. Of course, it's possible to have rotation, for example. So, in fact, you don't understand the dynamics in this case. So, there is a very important class of measure in dynamical system. It's a class of measure with no Lyapunov exponent equal to 0. So, these measures are called hyperbolic. So, mu is hyperbolic if the ki are not equal to 0. And this class is very important because you see, we understand the dynamics precisely of for such measure. Okay. So, just to finish for today, there is another theory after Osvaldek's theorem, which is due to Kessin. And of course, I have not the time to describe this theory, but I would like to give the ideas of this theory because I will use to prove some theorem next time. So the idea is this theory introduces some charts, and you can do you can consider in fact that Fn using these charts is more or less equal to its differential. This is the first point. So, in fact, I will more or less assume that it is an equality in the future. And, moreover, Pessin theory implies that you can cut the expansion on the contraction in the time. So I can draw a picture. If you take x generic for the measure, for mu and mos over x, you know that the differential is like that. If v is in EI. But we can cut this expansion. So you have x, you have ei of x, f of x, ei of f of x, and you continue. So by Pessin theory, you can assume that when you take a vector here, the differential, this differential is almost E lambda I. You take a vector here, you can assume this modulo deformations, but I forget the deformations. And it's the same at each step. So for example here, you can assume that if V is EI or FM of X. So you see, you multiply by E lambda I at each step. And of course, when you take the composition here, you have that this is equal to E lambda lambda n, which is given by the Lapunov experiment. You can cut the expansion or the contraction in the time. Okay. So in the next talk, I will use this theory and these three or four dynamical quantities in order to describe dynamical systems. And today, I stop here.